Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with into the 8 o'clock hour. Sam on this side of the glass. Greg's on the other side of the glass today. And it rains outside, rainy, chilly day, but it doesn't matter, huh? Because it is a celebration Sunday morning. We are champions. The MLS Cup is going to stay in Atlanta because of Atlanta United getting the win last night. We've been talking about it all morning long, and we're going to talk more about it as we go along today. But, of course, today is also a game day Sunday as the Atlanta Falcons will be in action. Coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game today, Falcons and Packers, 11 a.m. pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff from Lambeau Field. And then tonight, the Sunday night game, the Rams against the Bears from Soldier Field, 7:30 pregame at 8:20 kickoff. As always, at this time on Sunday morning, you get to hear from Coach Dan Quinn as he spent some time this week with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas, as he always does. Here now is some of his conversation with Coach Quinn and John and Hugh.
Dan Quinn, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Coach.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning. You know, Coach, me and John were kicking around this story by Von McClure this morning, and I just want to ask you this question real quick. Given the hits that Matt Ryan has taken this year, is there any thought about pulling him out for these last couple of games?
No. Hell no. Like, we're going to fight, Hugh. You know that. And everything we do, Matt's right at the front of it. And so what we got to do, we got to do it better. And I don't expect those hits to stay at that level. I expect that number to go down when we do what we do better, and that's play actions and boots and running the ball. So, no, that is not part of our thought or discussion in any way.
You know what, Coach, that kind of leads into my next question I want to ask, because, the run game has been a bit of a struggle this year. And could you talk about why do you think that is? Is that because of the boot actions and everything else that you couldn't that doesn't happen on the field?
No, I don't think it's a reflection of the play action at all. I think we started slow. I thought then we kind of hit a better spot where we were able to run it better. And then over the last 4 weeks, slowed way down again. And so I anticipate that revving back up. We're working like crazy to get that part of our game correct. And it's not to the standard that we've set at all, but it does establish everything that we'd like to do. So it does start from there, Hugh. You're right. And then it allows some of those other things to be even better, the play pass, the boots, and the keepers. That's really a part of our offense where a lot of our explosive passes come from, or in those on the play passes. But in the run game, that is not to the standard we set for ourselves, so we're going to keep digging on that. If it was just one thing, we'd certainly hit that one. So we're going to keep digging, man. That's what we do to try and get it right, and we got another chance at it this weekend.
Talking with head coach Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons, ahead of the Falcons and Packers on Sunday. So second time this year you had to go in on the road, Cleveland and now Green Bay, where you've had to face a team that has changed head coaches right before your game. Of course, Cleveland from Hugh Jackson to Greg Williams. Now, of course, Mike McCarthy to Joe Philbin. And you saw the Cleveland game, Coach, a lot of unscouted looks. Is that something you have to prepare for this week, potentially, with Joe Philbin?
Yes, I think you do. And they've got a huge playbook to begin with. So, when you have Aaron Rodgers under center for this long, they got a full complement of things that they can do. And Joe's been there, in two different stints, I believe, with Green Bay. So he's got plenty of experience, and I would say likely they've got enough scheme that there's will be some unscouted ones, but something they have for sure, heading into it. So we're preparing. Like I said, we've played these guys some in the past, but they've got a big package, and it'll take us all the way through the week to get ourselves ready.
Is Aaron Rodgers still one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL to you, Coach?
Yeah, 100%, you. And it's his ability with the accuracy. You see he's got, just one interception on the year. I mean, think about how difficult that is. So he can make all the throws and knows that he can, because he doesn't put the ball into spots where, there's a, chance to get picked. He just has that kind of accuracy to, to deliver in the right space. So, 100%, I believe that he is.
Talking with head coach Dan Quinn about the Falcons and the Packers on Sunday, 1 o'clock kick at Lambeau Field. What is Lambeau? I got to tell you, Coach, one of the few stadiums I have not been to, and it's always bothered me, is Lambeau Field. I've never had a chance to get up to there. What is Lambeau Field like? What is Lambeau Field like in December?
It's a good environment at any time. Lots of history there, but more than anything, man, like the biggest thing is coming back out of there with a W. That's really the only focus in where we're at and how we got to go attack. But from a football environment, just like you like, and battling for him, Hugh, I'm sure you've had, some good battles there through the years. It's a good spot to play, but more than anything, come back with a win.
You know, of course, Falcons and Packers knocking heads here. This is a battle that the Falcons have had the better of, and you had, as you mentioned, with Aaron Rodgers, managed to be able to, I don't know if you contain him, but you managed to get the better of him in some of those key games in the past, and now you go up against a team that, as you said, unscouted looks, and you're not really sure what you're going to be facing when you get into Green Bay, and that's got to be difficult. But now defensively, you guys have kind of really started to, you know, feel your oats a little bit. That's, you know, as we look through this losing skid here, Coach, you know, you start to pick apart and try and find the good things here, and you've seen some growth on your defense has stood up at times and played pretty good.
You know, the ability to hold teams to field goals, that's obviously a big thing, and so that was the case on Sunday, but we've got to do a better job. You know, we can still improve on third down, and that turnover margin can really improve. So, you know, force some fumbles in the last game. We only got one of them, but I love that we scored, and I love, I'm sure the fans did too, just the strain of the guys leading to go get blocks to get Vic in the end zone. So those are things definitely that I'm seeing tick up, and definitely something that we can improve in this fourth quarter of the season.
How good was it to have Deion Jones back out there on the field, Coach?
You know what? It was awesome, man. You know, it's the energy, Hugh, that he brings as a teammate, you know, as a play caller, the alerts, and he plays with such speed, and he was one of the guys that really was attacking the ball to go. So I was expecting him to take a while to get back into it, but he was such a factor right off the bat. So we're pumped to have him back, and good news for him. He came through the game just fine. And he was as happy as anybody to be sore after the game, you know, from playing, not in his foot or anything, but just from playing.
Let's talk a little bit, if you could, Coach, about the health of the team going into the game.
The only one that didn't come through in the way that we wanted was Josh Harris, though. He's been continuing to deal with a hip injury that, you know, just wasn't, you know, improving. And so we put Josh on IR. And so with that injury, we signed veteran John Kondo as a long snapper, long-time snapper in the league, and you know, glad to welcome him into the team and get rolling with him.
You know, what does that mean? You know, it's such an unsung position, and Josh has been doing it, you know, so long, and I trust you'll be okay at the spot. But boy, that's one of those things that fans, you know, you don't think about the long snapper. It's sort of like, you know, you don't think about you know, the referee until he kind of injects himself into the game or makes a mistake. I mean, until he does, everything is just, you know, spot on. He hadn't missed much, if at all, that I could ever think of.
No, he does an excellent job, and in the punt, yet you know, the snap, and obviously the protection, and then in field goal, you know, it's. They get so technical, John, like you can imagine as a snapper to deliver the ball to the holder, you know, with the laces already positioned up. So when he places the ball down, the laces are out. Like that's the level of detail that snappers go into. Can they deliver the ball with the rotation that puts the laces at the top of the catch? So when they put it down, it's already facing out. It's amazing the level of expertise that people can go into. And John Kondo has certainly been one that's done it a long time. And Josh, we're bummed for him. He's such a tough guy. He's battled through finger and hip this year. So we'll get him back and we'll get him ready. But, you know, that loss, you know, certainly hurts.
Coach Quinn, just broadly, you know, to the fans, you've got four games to go. And obviously, you're, you know, just a chance for you to talk to the fans. Because I know that there's been a lot of, you know, disappointment and angst about what happened this season. Certainly is, obviously, for you. And, you know, anything, you know, you want to just say, kind of tell the fans right now?
Well, I, you know, I understand there's, you know, when you have a four-game stretch like we did, there's dark cloud overhead, but I just want them to know, you know, how hard we're going to go after it. And you're going to see fantastic leadership from the players. You're going to see this turnover margin go up and play like we're capable of playing. We're so pumped to have four NFC teams, you know, on this next quarter, two of them in the division. So they'll get our best, and we love them. They love us, and, you know, from a fan standpoint, but we cannot wait to go and battle. We got much to prove here in this fourth quarter, and we're going to go after it like crazy.
Yeah, and it's Aaron Rodgers against Matt Ryan. It should be a classical battle of two of the top premier quarterbacks in the game on Sunday. Looking forward to it, Coach.
Yeah, no doubt. Two proud teams are going to go battle for it, and it'll be a hell of a game.
Thank you, Coach. Do appreciate it.
Have a good one, Coach.
All right, see you.
And that is John and Hugh and that conversation that they have each and every week with Falcons head coach Dan Quinn. And there's a lot in there the coach says is still being – optimistic and still want to reassure the fans that the team is going to go out. First of all, they're going to go out and fight. And I think that's what people want to know. They have these four games remaining on the schedule. What can they expect to see this team do? And I think you know, Coach Quinn tells us, you know, what his vision is, what he plans for the team to do. And I think it's what we want to see happen. We want to see this team go out and still fight and compete and show people what they really can be. We know that a lot of things happened during the course of this season. A lot of the pieces that we thought would be in place to get this team where we feel like they should be didn't happen. And they're facing a team that's pretty much like them that's having a disappointing season with a quarterback who's arguably, you know, maybe the best in the league right now. Green Bay with a record of 4-7-1. And this week, dismissed coach Mike McCarthy. They're going to have Joe Philbin filling in as the coach. Right now, the offensive coordinator is former head coach of the Dolphins. He's going to be the interim head coach of this team. And you wonder, what does he do to try to help things out for Aaron Rodgers? Because you got that duel. You got a duel, two of the premier quarterbacks in the National Football League with teams that records that are not indicative of those quarterbacks and how they're capable of playing. You wonder what kind of show they're going to be able to put on today. We know it's supposed to be pretty cold. I think the temperature right now up in Green Bay is something like 16, 17 degrees. So it's going to be one of those days. Yeah, the tundra is probably going to be frozen as they play up there today. It's going to be a cold one. Falcons still got to block that out. Got to go out and do what they can to get a victory. That's what they need to do to try to get that fifth win of the season right now. They've gone through just a rough spot in the schedule, a rough patch in their schedule. We just want to see them get back on track and get to the win. A guy who also wants to see them win is a guy who was on the call for a big win last night, Mike Conte, of course, the play-by-play voice for Atlanta United, also in the pregame show for Atlanta Falcons. He's getting ready to do more work, folks. Before he does all that, he's going to spend some time with us. That's coming up straight ahead on this Celebration Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence.
Settled down by Nagy. Played back to Escobar. Just seconds remaining now, folks. Michael Parkhurst on top of the goal now. Portland does not approach the ball. Parkhurst sends it down the middle. Referee checks his watch. It's going to bounce all the way out to Antonella. Atlanta! It is over! This city has a champion! And it's Atlanta United, winners of the 2018 MLS Cup Final!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Welcome back into a championship Sunday morning. Oh, my goodness. And you heard that call. Man has a little slice of radio sports broadcast immortality right there. And I tell you what, if you don't get goosebumps after hearing that, man, I mean, there's something wrong with you. That's the final call that seals the victory and a championship for the city of Atlanta and a parade coming up tomorrow. Something we haven't seen in 23 years. And the man who had that call for you, right now, our very own Mike Conte joins us now on the waitforit.com hotline. Mike, first of all, good morning. Thanks for waking up. Did you get any sleep at all after what you saw last night?
It took a while to fall asleep. I'm in tears all over again hearing that. This has been a very, very, way more emotional 12 hours than I could have imagined. And, man, I mean, it is just absolutely surreal to hear that we are the champions. I almost can't believe it. I'm in tears again.
Yeah,
but thank you for that, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Greg wanted to hook that up for you because, you know, hey, that's what it means today. It means a part of a championship. And put it into words, being a part of this season, your first year. And there are a lot of people who've been in broadcast sports for a long time who envy you right now because they can't say they called a championship, and you have.
No, and really, it's not fair. I mean, for me to have that in my first year doing this, it's not fair, and I know it. You know, I was really thinking a lot last night, kind of at the end. I mean, I wanted to try to do as much justice to the moment as I could, but I think who I was thinking about more than anyone are guys who've really become very good friends of mine in this industry, guys like Steve Holman,
West Durham, Dan Kamal, Dave Cohen at Georgia State, guys who have been doing this way, way longer and at an incredibly higher level than I could ever aspire to be, and they haven't had that opportunity yet. So I hope I did them proud last night with that. I was really thinking a lot about them. I mean, this one's for Steve Holman and Dan Kamal and Wes and Dave Cohen and so many others in this town that haven't had the opportunity yet, because quite frankly, I really believe this. This is going to be the start.
Yeah.
I never believed in a curse, but now that we have one, I think I can say it now. I think this is going to be the one that kind of breaks the dam a little bit, and I'm hoping that over the next couple of years, we're going to have championships and buckets. I don't want to leave out Scott Howard either. That one's for him, too, because he was so darn close last year with UGA against Alabama. So it's for everyone, and I hope everyone enjoyed it, and I hope the fans enjoyed it. Sam, I hope you enjoyed it, too. It was good
enjoyed,
to be there last
enjoyed.
Night.
It was great to be there last night. I had a chance to say hello to you guys during the pregame show. Talk about what this means to your broadcast partner. I mean, you got him to reflect on it some, because you guys didn't go off the air until after midnight last night. But talk about what it means to him. I see him as kind of like a Pied Piper for the sport in this area, and you've had a chance to work very intimately with him.
I'm elated for Jason, and you're going to hear a lot from him over the next couple days on the radio station. We'll be broadcasting from the parade tomorrow. You know, Jason, yes, Pied Piper is a good way to put it. He was kind of my Sherpa this year, guiding me through the very, very steep learning curve of trying to sound somewhat like I knew what I was talking about with soccer, and enormously patient. The thing I love about Jason is his willingness to be as inclusive as anyone as far as, you know, bringing more fans to our sport and making this the big thing that it's become. And, you know, Jason, I really mean this sincerely. Jason's, I think, a huge building block of the foundation of Atlanta United because of his work with the Atlanta Ruckus, his work with Soccer in the Streets, which has become an incredibly meaningful program. Grow the sport in not just inner city Atlanta, but throughout Metro Atlanta and the state of Georgia. And, we were talking about it on Friday. I asked Jason, are you going to cry? He goes, I might. I didn't really think I'd be the one crying more, but I'm a big ball of Italian emotion, I guess. So it's not surprising to me. But I'm just so thrilled for Jason. I mean, I'm glad he's going to get his moment tomorrow with the parade. We're all looking forward to that. And, he's a big part of this, and the club knows it, too. I mean, Darren Eales knows it. They reach out to him. They reached out to him in the formative days of the club for advice. He was a big, big part of leading them to the television broadcasters that they hired, a big, big part of making the broadcast what it is now, obviously, on the radio. So, as much as this day is for the fans and the players and everyone on the technical staff in the front office, it's a day for Jason, too.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline. He's awake, folks. Mike Conte, you can follow him.
Sam, I got to do a game in 2 hours. I got to be awake. As soon as I'm done with you, I'm getting in the car and going back to work.
Wow. You can follow him on Twitter at MikeConte929. The Adventures of Mike Conte. As he continues, and this talk first of all also about Arthur Blank, and I mentioned earlier the disappointments that he's gone through, with the other team, obviously with the Falcons and wanting to get them, but this is something he wants to bring to this city so badly, and I had a chance to speak with him briefly on the field last night, and I asked him how's the satisfaction. He said the satisfaction he gets is from seeing the fans, and it goes back to him. It goes back to customer service. And that's something that is paramount with him.
Well, there's something you need to understand about Arthur Blank. He's not doing this Atlanta United thing to make money. This is not something where he's going to make a lot of money, if any money at all. He loves the game of soccer because his wife loves it. His kids love it. His son plays up at Elon. I really think Arthur wants Atlanta United to be his legacy to Atlanta. I don't want to say parting gift, because Arthur's going to be with us for many years to come, but I think, as the years and decades go by, this is going to be Arthur Blank's legacy in Atlanta, because he wants it to be, because he is very, very serious as well, just like Jason, about growing the game of soccer in Atlanta. And I think all of you would be very, very surprised to know Arthur does not make a lot of money on Atlanta United. I mean, it's a business, but, you know, it's more of a passion project for him. And for everyone out there who isn't quite sure if an Atlanta United championship should be placed on the same platter as the Falcons or the Braves or the Hawks, look at Arthur Blank's emotions last night when he was handed the Anschutz Trophy. I mean, it sure looked to me like he was choking back tears. That's as happy as I've ever seen that man. And look, if not for Arthur Blank, there'd be no Atlanta United. There'd be no parade tomorrow. So he deserves to lead that parade. I hope it's the first of many championships for him. I hope it eases the pain of what happened 2 years ago in Houston. The cool thing is, I really think this does. That's the neat thing.
I think it does, too. I think it does, too. Greg and I talked about that and whether or not it eased some of the pain from that. I think it does. I mean, some of it will still linger always because you were so close. But I think this does, and especially for the fans here in the area. Parade tomorrow. Now, you're going to be in the parade. If people come to the parade, where can they look for you and Jason?
I think, well, you know, I'm still kind of waiting for some additional details, but I think we're going to be in our 92.9 The Game truck Norris, which I think is a like Chevy Suburban.
Yeah.
We'll be in the back. Players will be in the front. They should be. But Jason and I, we're going to broadcast live from the parade during Rick and John show tomorrow at 10 a.m. And, you know, I'll be the fat guy choking back tears in the 92.9 The Game truck, I guess.
That would be great. Now, of course, now one thing done, you got some work coming up in just a little while with our Falcons. Can you tell us a little bit about what you think we may see today? We got two of the best. We got two of the best quarterbacks on the planet, but look at their records.
Yeah, it's Rodgers against Ryan. That'll be fun. The one thing I keep going back to is Dan Quinn's career record against Aaron Rodgers is really good, and I don't think it's a coincidence. I think he. I don't know what it is. I don't understand the nuance of it as well as he. But you know, obviously, he's figured something out. Scheming against Aaron Rodgers over the last couple years. Green Bay is probably in an even worse spot than Atlanta right now because they fired their coach. Joe Philbin will be their interim coach. That makes me feel a little bit queasy because you don't know about tendencies and they can throw some unscouted looks at you in the same way that Cleveland did a couple weeks ago when they had a new offensive coordinator. But, you know, I think these are important games coming up for the Falcons to evaluate what they've got going into 2019, players and coaches respectively. They're going to be playing with a lot of pride, I know that. So I think all we can hope for now, these last 4 weeks starting today, let's get some entertaining football, and let's see if someone can emerge. If it's a Isaiah Oliver or a Deidre Sanat or, you know, one of these rookies somewhere that can give us a little bit of hope and optimism for 2019 by showing out in a game like this today at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, that's what we want to see. It's supposed to be nice and chilly and cold and frozen, I guess, kind of Lambeau weather, I suppose, you got to go up and play in. But when you go and play at that place this time of year, you know that's going to be a part of it too.
Well, fortunately, the weather's been lousy here all week, so maybe they've been able to replicate that a little bit. I actually asked Dan Quinn about that on Monday. He said, really, once you start playing, it's no big deal. It's not like they don't have sideline heaters in the NFL. I mean, this isn't, you know, some draconian high school coach who's going to make his kids, you know, not have heaters and stand out there in the cold for 3 hours. So a lot of times conditions like that can be a little bit overrated. I mean, it's obviously an advantage for Green Bay. But right now you've got two teams that aren't really playing for much other than pride. And sometimes when you have two of those spots, you get entertaining games, kind of compelling games. So I think that's what we're hoping for today.
Well, we're hoping for sure. And maybe they'll be inspired by what happened here last night. How about that, huh? That's what I think.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, not to interrupt, Sam, Arthur Blank is going to join us on the pregame show this morning. We were trying to have him on with us last night. He had to get on with his family. But Arthur Blank's going to join us on the pregame show this morning. We're going to chat a little bit about Atlanta United. So don't miss that. Don't know about the exact time yet, but we'll be starting at 11 a.m. here on 92.9 The Game.
Be looking forward to hearing that, and obviously hearing you at the pregame show. Thanks so much for the time this morning. Congratulations on the call. Your great call is going to be living forever here in town, and also on the great successful inaugural season for you as play-by-play voice of Atlanta United.
Sam, no one in town I respect more than you. You know that. So this one's for you and all the broadcasters who've covered a lot of losing in this town for a long time. I'm glad we have a winner.
I know it. I know it. There's nothing else like it. Feels great. Thanks so much.
Okay, Sam.
That is Mike Conte spending some time with us, and he will have Arthur Blank as one of the guests on the pregame show coming up this morning sometime after 11 a.m., so you want to tune in for that. All right, headed toward the top of the hour in the Wade Ford tailgate show. They're getting all ready for that. We're going to come back with more on what happened last night. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta United, MLS Cup champions here in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Working our way up to the top of the hour in the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Randy McMichael, Hugh Douglas, and Andy Bunker getting ready for that for you to get you set for a day of football, the other football. But I'm sure they may remark some about the football that was played last night as we continue to talk about the celebration of a championship. We are champions here in Atlanta with Atlanta United 2-0 victory over Portland last night before 73,000-plus at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The excitement spilled into the streets last night, people driving around honking horns, even in the bad weather. And understand places like Waffle Houses were like packed or whatnot, with people just up. And not a lot of sleep has been had. And someone who is still in the studio here, Jared Smith, is one of those people. Jared, you get any sleep at all last night?
I got a nap. That's okay. You know, when you put a star above the crest, when you have a night when you win a trophy,
yeah,
a nap is acceptable.
Yes.
Had you not gotten it, I'd be a little salty about getting just a nap, but I can live with it. I'm in good shape, I think.
You think?
I don't know for sure.
I think that's the way a lot of the city feels right now. Talk about to be there. I mean, and follow this team like you have throughout this its existence, but to be there last night and actually see it happen, to hear the intensity in the crowd, to hear that crescendo go up at the end when the time is out and the players sprint to the center of the field, it was like nothing else we felt before.
Yeah, it was. It was something else. In the press box, as you know at Mercedes-Benz, it's hard to hear the field. That glass is pretty soundproof. Not 100%, but it cuts a lot
much.
Of the sound.
You don't hear much.
So I went down to a radio booth to listen. Where they had the windows open, it was deafening. It was the loudest I've ever heard that building. It was something else. The fans should be proud of the job they did in terms of making that a hostile environment, because it's what it was last night. And, team carried the night. And, man, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch your team celebrate something. I think a lot of us are still trying to kind of put it together in our heads that happened. But as the game is going on there, it's 1-0, then it's 2-0. And as time's wearing on, you're like, oh, yeah, this is happening. Yeah, this is happening.
Yeah,
you still get that kind of nerve in your stomach where you're like, man, just don't give up that one goal and make me more nervous. But yeah, they're in good shape here, and there's the final whistle, and the longest 5 minutes of stoppage time you
could
have asked
that?
For.
It's like it was going forever, didn't it?
Like 5 minutes. I think everybody's head just kind of went back. Oh God, please no.
But still, in the end, they come up with the victory, and that's the thing that was so impressive about it to me was, you know, the way things started out, everybody was kind of tense. You could tell that, you know, when they started out. It's a big crowd and it's a big stage. And you played all season to get here. And you know you got some guys on the other side in Portland who know what it takes to win it because they just won it 2 years ago. So to really get over that, if Almiron got that bicycle, he attempted, the roof would have blown right off the top of that building.
Yeah, you'd have to do more construction to rebuild that aperture roof, because yes, if he hits that, then yes, you're right. The roof is either falling in or blowing off, one of the two. That building might have collapsed had he hit that. And I feel like that's what this has been about for a while now, is that this team plays lockdown defense in the playoffs, and they just make it happen offensively one way or another. And in that case, I mean, it was – I think I saw him attempting. I was like, he's not going to – oh, he is. Oh, dear God, he almost did.
Yeah, almost
and, did. But that's what it took last night. That's what it takes in those championship games. Somebody's got to step up and take the big moments. And last night, I mean, Almiron played a great game. Joseph Martinez out there deciding just to, score and then assist, draw the foul that picks up the set piece which he assists on. Look, this is the thing that's been happening throughout this playoffs with this team. Your superstar stepped up. And your superstars really kept the other superstars from the other side out of the game.
Right.
And
right.
I don't think we can get. I don't think I can go back to that enough. It's just how your stars stepped up when you needed the most.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, you know, this team, some of the faces we see now, and we're going to have here. We're counting down here about 12 minutes. Things get started. And we're going to see some faces change, but the idea is because of what has happened here, there's all the confidence in the world that there are phenomenal players that want to come here and be a part of what's happening. I think that's the big tribute to everything that's gone, starting from Arthur Blank to the front office, all the way down to the guys we've seen on the field. They set the stage for something I think that can be maintained and continue for quite some time.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the game plan here is to just – Atlanta right now is a place guys want to come play. You can come play in front of 40,000 to 70,000. We're going to see a coaching change here pretty soon. Not sure who it's going to be. But you're gonna see, I think, people want Atlanta become that destination. And then down the road, I think the end game is more of, well, right now it's a destination where people can come play and try and ply their trade and try and push for Europe down the road.
Right.
That last part, I don't know if that's going to be a thing eventually, and it's just a thing where people want to come to Atlanta. Then what? And stay for a very long time because it becomes the destination. I think that's where you're trying to get at right now. And, you know, maybe it's a guy like a Joseph Martinez deciding to stay here for a long time, or a Tito Villalba or a Leandro Gonzalez-Pires staying for a long time. Miguel Amarón has been vocal about wanting to go to Europe, but you knew that coming in. It's not like he sprung that on you. That's a great ovation for him coming off the end of the game, too.
That was
a goosebumps kind of moment. But, yeah, they're shifting the paradigm, and they've you know, they came into the league with the idea of, you know, we're going to do things differently and shake things up a bit. Winning a title in your second year is about as well as you can shake things up.
Yeah. Jared, always great to spend some time with you chatting Atlanta United. And we look forward to the celebration, the parade tomorrow. It's going to be a little chilly and wet up, but we look forward to being
there. That didn't stop anybody. They were in the Gulch last night after the game. Did not stop them.
10 o'clock tomorrow. All right, folks, of course, National Football League coming up. Remember, NFL action here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons and Packers pregame show at 11 o'clock. Kickoff is at 1. The Sunday night game is here, too. The Rams and the Bears, 7:30 pregame, 8:20 is the kickoff. We look around the National Football League. There's several other games that I'm intrigued. One particularly, 1 o'clock, is Kansas City. We know what all is going on with that team. Kansas City is taking on the Ravens. We just saw them last week. I think that could be a show of two very entertaining quarterbacks playing in that one. Saints and Bucks play today down in Tampa Bay. We watched that one because they're in the division with us, but it seems like the Saints have kind of run away, and they're going to run away and hide with that division. Panthers are in Cleveland against the Browns at 6-6. My goodness, Carolina started out, you know, so hot. Now they're at 6-6, and they're having some trouble up there. Browns might be able to take them today. We'll see what happens in that one. Chargers, and this is a team that just continues to impress. They continue to impress. They're home against Cincinnati. That's a 4:05 start. I think that's one that's worth watching out for. And then the Cowboys, who've had this surge from the middle of the season, they've been running. They're hosting the Eagles. That's 4:25 today. Eagles and the Cowboys, that's another game that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. I think that they could be a pretty good one. And like I said, our Sunday night game, the Rams, that seem to be on this collision course with the Saints for the NFC Championship. That's the way it looks right now from the way they've been doing this regular season. They're going to be in Chicago, and they're going to get a test from a very difficult defensive unit for the Bears there at Soldier Field. That's an 8:20. Like we said, that's a game you're going to be able to hear here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Week 14 promises to be an interesting and entertaining one around the National Football League. And, of course, we're going to be focusing on the Falcons. What can they do in Green Bay? The fact that we got two of the best quarterbacks in the league with teams that seem like they're going to miss out on the postseason. Falcons at 4-8, Packers at 4-7-1. Yet, it could be a pretty interesting and entertaining football game. And the Falcons, because Dan Quinn has had so much success against the Packers, you got to think they can go up, put together something defensively to slow down Aaron Rodgers and maintain enough offense in this game. Get Matt Ryan what he needs and see if that offense can get more productive than the last time we saw. It didn't seem like the offense that we know for the Falcons at all. If they can recoup that today, it would be great to see them do that as they play against the Packers today at 1 o'clock. Looking at the temperature, I'm seeing 16 degrees. Wow. That's That's cold. But like we said earlier, that's playing in Green Bay. And we see what happens if they do that. It's first of the final four games of the season for this Falcons football team. And you know, we heard Coach Dan Quinn earlier in the hour from his interview with John and Hugh. Just talk about this team is going to go ahead and compete. They're going to challenge, go out and fight. Let's see if they do that today. All right, top of the hour. Wade Ford Tailgate Show coming your way. But before we do, one more chance to get your cash in your pocket. It is the casting call as we round third and head for home on a championship celebration Sunday morning on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 929TheGame.com.